So, tonight's VOD was inspired by something that happened to me in New York. This time around. I was in New York for a wedding. A Talmud of mine that was a Talmud way back in Brooklyn, but also in Miami here. And I remember the scene. I was, I guess, by the chuppah. So I was on top of the chuppah after the wedding. And old Miami guy comes by, you know, super excited. Oh, Rebbe, so good to see you. I'm so happy I'm here. Okay, great. He's like, I have to tell you something. This guy, it's quite interesting. The chassid himself was in the yeshiva here in Miami, I would say a year and change, maybe a year and a half. This friend who came to the chasna was a friend, you know, of the year and a half the chassid was there. This person maybe overlapped a year and change. They both weren't here, I don't think, for the full, let's say, 3 years. They just, you know, they overlapped. I think they were in the same time. I'm not sure they ever shared together. I was trying to even remember that, if they ever made it and shared together. But they're around the same age. And I know that they didn't know each other before, and they didn't have any shaychas after. So somebody coming to the wedding of a guy from yeshiva, who we spent maybe at best a year and change together with, and he says he came, he wasn't so close, he actually took him, you know, a decent distance to get to the wedding, and he said to me the following line. He says, you know, Rebbe, you know, I was in Miami, and post-Miami, he was in other yeshivas, other places. And he's like, there's nothing like my friends I have from Miami. Mamish, nothing like my friends from Miami. He might have only overlapped for a short amount of time in the relatively big picture. What's a year and a half of your life? Right? Especially when you're ready, 24, 25. A year. And he's been to other yeshivas and other happening places, let's just say. Given to Shar Yashav, other spots. There's definitely a lot of things going on in these places. But he says it's pasha to him, his best friends were the friends that he made right here in Miami. And it's always nice to hear as a Rebbe, you know, something that is part of the yeshiva. And, you know, I guess I'd like to point out, I'd like to try in today's VOD, try to understand what exactly about Miami is this guy so excited about, the friendship that he had with this guy. He wasn't talking specifically about the chassid, he was talking about all his friends from that tekufa. He wasn't best friends with this guy. But his friends from, quote unquote, Miami were like his closest friends, his best friends that he had, even though he was in other places before, other places after. But this year and a half that he was here changed his life. Best friends. What was it? So you might say to me, okay, Rebbe, that was a few years back in Miami. They had different types of guys in yeshiva. So, you know, maybe like a certain type of guy in yeshiva, you know, that year, those years, and like those guys connected. Okay, nice hypothesis if you didn't really know the guys, if you didn't really know the yeshiva. But I was here. It was already my years in Miami. That's not the pshat. It wasn't because they were the same type of guy that they hit it off and they had a connection. To be honest, in the yeshiva, you always have all different guys from different backgrounds. You have guys who are stronger in learning, guys who are weaker in learning, guys who are more committed, more masmidim, guys whose nature is not to be a masmid, guys who play basketball, guys who don't play basketball, guys who play in the JCC, guys who play in the backyard, I don't know. All types. You always have different things. Guys who go fishing, workout room. You always have different guys. But I think part and parcel, probably a big factor in it, was there was a certain ruach that was created in the yeshiva. I would think that the ruach started top down from the rebbeim, from the rosh yeshivas, you know, within the yeshiva. But it was carried through with the guys. And that ruach was something so precious, so powerful, that a guy spent, you know, a year and a half in the yeshiva. Those are friends for life. And other places, he may not have felt the same connection as that. Now, many things are tzrichim chizuk, and I'm sure this is one of the things. It's an important topic to talk about, you know. So I do think it's one of the things that needs chizuk. You know, if there existed such an aura, such a spirit in yeshiva just a few years ago, so tangible that a guy would travel from far and wide to be there by a friend's chasna. I'll tell you another story, Agav Orcha. I ended up making my tickets because I was so busy with all the things. I didn't know if I would be able to make it. I made my tickets for the wedding less than a week before. Another alumnus of the yeshiva contacted me 2 days later. Rabbi, I hear you're going to the wedding. I'm like, ooh, that's breaking news. How'd you hear? Well, because I just made tickets. Also, same type of thing. Guy passed yeshiva. Also, he was not best friends with the chassan, but he was part of the tekufa, part of the chevra, and like, how could I miss the wedding? Like, tremendous dedication. Where does it come from? So in tonight's Vod, I'd like to put forth perhaps some ideas. I don't know if these are the only ideas, but definitely some ideas of what helps create ruach and what helps create more than ruach, but bonds, sharm that people have, which could last for a lifetime. This week's parsha, Parshas Vayera, one of the most classic Slabotka Shmuzim, it's not the Rosh Hashiva's Kiddush, it's actually the altars. Torah talks about Avram Avinu on the third day of his Milah. And if this was a shmuz you had to say in Bell Harbor, it'd be a pretty easy shmuz to sell. You think about Avram Avinu in absolute pain to the degree that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to take the sun out of its shadow or to stop people, took the sun out of its cover. This way no one would be there on the streets because Avram Avinu needed to rest. But Afal Pikein, what happened was Avram Avinu got involved in the chesed. We all know that. That's clear in the Pesukim. What's not so clear in the Pesukim was Avram Avinu, after getting the Bris Milah, reached the Madrega of Salach B'Fanaviyei Samen, that by having the Bris Milah, Avram Avinu reached the highest Madrega he ever had in his life, which enabled him to have the highest level of Nevuah that he ever had. So in terms of Ruchnias, it's like L'havdol Elof Avdolos, just a Shaber Sa'ozen. It's like you're having a Chavrusa through Kiv'egar the Ksos, you know, the Nesivas, like everybody is giving you time together to sit and learn right now, today. Now, I know what I would feel if I just had the Ksos for 5 minutes. But Kiv'egar the Ksos, Nesivas, Chaim Brisker, the Granat, David. Can you imagine, like, now, obviously, the hell of the dollars, you have HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaching you Torah on the highest of Madrigas, connecting on the highest Madriga. That's the ultimate Tanag Ruchni. That's worth more than $1.6 billion. And Avram Avinu, basically, is there with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, about to receive the most awesome Ruchnias ever. And he says, time out. I see some Arabs over there. I want to do some chesed with them. You're passing up all that ruchnias to go and give some Arabs some food and drink? How do you understand it? And I remember David Harris, Shlita, spending much time dissecting the shmuz of the altar, trying to explain it, to understand it. And what I remember, and I have a chance to check in my notes, but Rabbi Harris, I remember, pushed the fact that part of it is we don't really get what chesed is. If you understood the connections you get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Torah, Mahu Af'ata, by doing chesed, so then you're right. You are, quote-unquote, simply sacrificing ruchnias of connecting with Hashem, of getting Torah from Hashem, but you're also having this relationship, even just simple Arabs, having this relationship of being Mahu Afata, making yourself closer to Hashem, in a certain sense greater than what you would if you would sit and learn by Hashem. Avram Avinu had this ultimate chance to get Ruchnius in the form of Torah straight from Hashem. Avram Avinu wasn't the person who went up to Shemayim 40 days, 40 nights. This was his super chance to do it. But he decided, or he understood, that chesed, just connecting with another human being, even somebody he never met, was such an amazing way to get to Ruchnius. That itself was a greater Ruchnius opportunity. That's Doche, being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and getting Torah on such a level. It's mind-boggling. But it's because we don't understand what Chesed does for us, how much HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants Chesed. He knew Hashem wanted him to leave him. Avraham Avinu understood that by doing a simple Chesed with these guests, he would be making himself more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even more than getting straight the das of HaKadosh Baruch Hu from HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. This is a greater form. This is the Ratzon Hashem. Hashem would rather him be involved in this chesed, a chesed sheyefshar de'acherim, nobody else could do it, is a greater chesed, a greater mitzvah, than interacting with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he's gaining even more from it. Not losing, he's gaining. I believe that was part of the Hesber Mehera said. Again, a chance to look it up. I just had a nice experience. This is just pure agavorcha. Rabbi Turk in Brooklyn is saying a shmooze tomorrow. So he saw me by the chasna. So he was working on the shmooze, I guess, already, you know, for a few days. And he remembers years ago discussing this with Rabbi Yamin, Rabbi Luban. And he wanted to go over the way he heard Rabbi Luban say over that shmooze. So he said he was going to call Rabbi Luban. He said he was going to call me. And he was so happy he saw me at the chasna, hacked me about it. He followed up with texts about it. I hacked Rabbi Luban about it. Then I had to call him back. We were hacking all about the shmooze. Exactly. Rabbi Luban said it. For the record, Rabbi Luban, like, said it off the cuff. He said, I have to look inside. But then he just spit it out quite well. Not only that, he even remembers, like, which sefer, a Talmud of the Altar of Slabodka, who he said over that shmooze, exactly how he said it. I took never even heard of the sefer. But, so, Lemaisa, you know, the taichup of a shmooze is very important, exactly what it is. But I think this idea is a big thing. The more a person realizes you're involved in doing chesed, the more a person... Chesed is not just, oh, you put a gun to my head. What can I do? Okay, I guess I have to give up these things to involve myself in that thing. It's not the pshat. When you're involved in chesed, you're building olamos. You're doing something which connects you in a very real way to Hashem. Hashem is a rachom. Hashem is olam chesed yibana. Hashem's constantly doing chesed. When I involve myself in chesed, I am becoming more like Hashem. Learning Torah helps me get the Das Hashem. But in terms of actions, that action is 24/7. Hashem is using those actions in the world. So when I follow Hashem's ways, understand Hashem's ways, and follow His ways, I'm becoming more and more like HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm connecting with more HaKadosh Baruch Hu by connecting with simple people. Now, if that's true about connecting to simple Arabs you never ever met, and doing with them chesed, giving them food, drink, and water. Now step back for a second. Can you imagine what it means chesed to the Bnei HaYeshiva, to another guy in yeshiva, who, like you, is here in yeshiva for a purpose? He's here to grow. And it could be he wants to grow just as much as you want to grow. Okay, maybe you want to grow more. But he's here in yeshiva. He wants to grow. Anytime a person's involved in helping another ben yeshiva, another ben aliyah grow, that's like a chesed on a much even higher madriga. Because any chesed done, twofold. Number one, because who you are. You're not just an Arab who worships the dust of your feet. You're a ben yeshiva who's currently in yeshiva looking to grow. But there's a second step, even more so. I think that first step I recently saw Rav Nosson Tzvi spells out in the Shmuz. There's a greater achrayus to do chesed to bnei yeshiva. But there's another step. How do you think people function? Trust me, I see it all the time. People are very moody. I'm sorry to say, but after all, where's Nachi? Most people here are teenagers, right? Okay, some already just passed teenage years, but you know, last I checked, people still have raging hormones, and those do funny things to people. And people get in moods. Sometimes they're in a good mood, sometimes they're in a cranky mood, sometimes they're in a happy mood, sometimes they're in a complaining mood. That's what people are. And they function in this, and depending on a mood, as people know quite well, that affects a person's learning, affects a person's davening, affects a person's midos. If a person walked around all day in a better mood, it's poshut you'd accomplish more in yeshiva. If you are a happy person, not getting caught up in things that bother you, whether it's in your own life or other people's lives, you'd be a happier person, and you'll accomplish more in yeshiva. But if you get caught up in stresses and things that are getting on you, it's much harder to learn. So what happens if one guy in yeshiva does chesed to another guy in yeshiva? He made his day. Not even made his day, he made his hour. Well, then I guess that hour would be a more productive hour in learning, and you have a chilek in that. So by Avram Avinu, he thought it's kedai for him to give up on his ruchnius to help these Arabs so they could drive their camels better. Okay? Wonderful chesed. Mahu afata, Kadosh Baruch Hu does that. What do you get when you help another guy in yeshiva? You get a happier person who is going to function better in yeshiva, achieve more in yeshiva, and grow better. Wouldn't you want a piece of that pie? You're not just gorim pure chesed to another person. You're helping that person grow in Torah, Musar, Yir Shamayim. That's a big deal. So that all, I think, is part of the Pashat Altar of Slabal Kashmuz. A person should realize that yeshiva gives you 24/7 opportunity to do chesed with other people. Again, obviously, yeshiva is about growth. And a large segment of that growth is your own individual learning and your individual havana and application of Torah and Musar and all that, of course. But it's not in a vacuum. You're not learning by yourself. Hopefully not learning without a chavrusa. Not just, you're not learning outside of a share. You're part of a share. Not outside of the base medrash. The same base medrash, okay, a couple steps up sometimes. But for the most part, one step you said, okay. For the most part, we'll connect, we're all there. So there's tremendous opportunities for chesed if you just keep your mind and your eyes open. I'm not talking about being mevatel hours of learning. I'm talking about the things we're doing. If we do in a positive way, you walk in the morning, you say good morning to somebody. We'll see soon. You'll talk with them. You never know what small things impact a person to have a good day, to be in a better mood, which memela has a ripple effect, more learning, more growth, and the sky's the limits. Now, I came across a Rashi in this week's Parsha. I believe this is my own shmuz. But it blew my mind. I decided, a good shtick for the plane. My plane ride there, I did some things. My plane ride back, I decided I was going to work on a shmuz for my Musar moment. So I copied like a few pages of Rashi in this week's Parsha. I decided to go through them. Okay, came up with a few shmuz. Okay, which one do I want to use for my Musar moment? So this Rashi is what's in print already for the, not in print, but I wrote up already for this week. I'm ahead of the game. So it says like this. Now I go Dunkin' Donuts. Okay, Kiyadativ. This is talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu when talking about HaKadosh Baruch Hu telling Avram Avinu that he's about to destroy Sodom. And the Pasuk says, why did Hashem tell Avram Avinu he's going to destroy Sodom? Because I know him that he commands his kids afterwards to be shomer derech Hashem. The Mefarshim have different pshatim. Why did Hashem tell Avram? I believe, again, I only had my photocopied Rashi on the plane. I believe there are other Rishonim who say, well, it's good to have a Pasuk, Avram Avinu, the Davram for them. It's Sodom was like the opposite of Avram Avinu. He was chesed, they were rishus. There are different pshatim out there. The Sforno has a thing because of he's a marbitz Torah, manitzav is bun of his basal acharov, and that's chos Hashem told it to him. Rashi says an amazing thing. Look at this Rashi. Ki yedativ, so first he says it's lashon chiba. Kamo modiel isha, lo boz modato, v'idelcha b'shem. V'omnam ikar lashon kulam, ena ol lashon yediyah. It's practically used, yediyah is used as a lashon of chiba, of love. But then Rashi translates it a little more specific. But really the root of it comes from knowing. What does knowing, yediyah, have to do with love? I can know lots of things. I don't mean I love it. Right? As the people who take high school tests over here know. So look at the Lashon of Rashi. Rabosai, we should underline this Lashon and do it most bespilos. Shemechavis Adam, someone who loves somebody else, Mekarvel Etzlo, you're Mekarv him to you, V'yodio Umekiro, you know him and you're mocker him. Do you understand what Rashi is saying? Why did Hashem tell Avram Avinu he's destroying Sodom? It's not to get Avram Avinu to Davin. It's not because of his chos or Marbitz Torah or anything with his kids. Why did Hashem tell Avram Avinu that he's destroying Sodom? Because Hashem loved Avram Avinu. When you're close to somebody else, you talk to him. You tell him what's going on in your life. You express yourself. What's going on in Hashem's life is he's about to destroy Sodom. So before he does it, he talks to people who he loves to tell them the inside scoop. You know what's going on in my life? I'm about to destroy Sodom. Not for you to daven, not for any other reason, because we're friends. That's what friends do. Beferish Rashi, Shemechavi v'sa'ada mekarvel etzlo, you're mekarvim, v'yodio makiro, you know him and you're makar him. Think about it. This is so true in life. Right? I remember a good Talmud of mine. I was in for a wedding. Which other one? I don't know. All these weddings, all these times. I was in for something. He pulls me over. He's like, Rebbe, I want to tell you, I'm getting engaged tomorrow. That was meaningful to me because I didn't find out with the 5,000 other people when the text went out the next day, he got engaged. He pulled me over. He told me, Rebbe, I'm getting engaged tomorrow. It's the same idea. I knew it a day before and he personally told me. That's meaningful. In my Muslim moment, I go on the whole thing today in the world, we lost our sensitivity for this. People post things which they tell their best friend and somebody who just randomly got in their WhatsApp group, who he has no clue, never met in his life, the same information at the same time. We have no clue what it means to have relationships. The world has mamish lost everything. A relationship is, the closer you are, you give different information. The closer you are, you're able to share that information. You feel the bond to share it. I'm only going to share it with you. I'll share this with everybody. And put for care, the person who receives that information feels a connection to that other person because look, he told it to me. Look, I know what's going on in his life. If Avram Avinu didn't know that Hashem was destroying Sodom, there'll be something lacking in their relationship. This big thing happened without you telling me? And Hashem's part too. Hashem would feel, kivyachol, there was something lacking in his relationship with Avram Avinu if he didn't tell him. Should I hold back from Avram what I'm going to do? How can I hold it back? I'm so close to him. I have to tell this to him. Both sides, this is a major, major yesod. In life, we have to get used to talking to people. We have to get used to sharing aspects of our lives with people. I'm not saying you have to broadcast it. I'm not saying you have to tell everybody your deepest, darkest secrets. It's not what we're saying. What we are saying is you have to be able to share your life with another person. You have to, A, be a person to do that, and B, a person who's ready to listen to that. When somebody tells you something going on in his life, I'm sorry, I'm busy, I have to chazer this tosos. Test is coming tomorrow. You're like halfway listening to it while you're walking out the door. That's not what we're supposed to do. If a person wants to share something with you, do you understand what he's doing? He's reaching out to you. He's calling out to you. Look, I want to be friends. I want to share something with you. You know what a chesed it is to share something with another person? Life is about making relationships, impacting people in a positive way. When you listen to another person, what he's going through, what's part of his life, you don't have to give any advice. You just listen. You know where he's up to. You know what's bothering him. You happen to know also what he's happy about. I'll get to this later, but Rabosai, how do you expect to be a good parent, husband, maybe one day Rebbe, if this skill is not maximized? And it doesn't just, okay, you know, after 15 years in Kollel, there's like a class that's given that will explain to you these things. I'm sorry, Rabosai. Not true. It's right here, right now. You have to, a person, especially these years, the years when a person develops. 18 to 24, the Marshal says in Shabbos, that's the ikar growth of a person, those years. So if you didn't get this by 24, you're a goner. In some ways. But under, knowing what a relationship, bread and butter, is just talking, sharing your life with another person. Having someone to do that, little bits, little things. That's how you build a relationship. You don't have to spend 10 years with the person. You could become best friends, or good friends, in a year and a half when you're not even best friends, but you just connected in some way. That's a big deal. Now, really, what this whole thing does, if a person does talk to somebody else, and gets to understand somebody else. And yeah, I know him. I've been in yeshiva with him. But it's in a dome. Just Agavarcha, a guy came to me today with a shayla. I was very happy because it was a good shayla. Guy came to me with a shayla. He says, what happens, you know, during Bikias? My chavrus is bottling. How should I handle, I'm ready to learn, but he still wants to, you know, bottle. How should I handle it? Great shayla. I'm so happy he asked. Most people probably don't ask. So, again, these things are not necessarily one size fits all. It depends on the situation, depends how you can handle it, and this and that. But I told him one thing. I said, there's two types of things. Look, sometimes if a guy, you know, wants to bottle this, okay, look, you could tell him, you know, I'm ready to go further, if that's okay. You're ready to learn. He's not ready to learn. But you could politely tell him that. Don't step on his toes. Don't hurt his feelings. I think that's fine. Obviously, we're here to learn. But sometimes there's a guy, he walks into Seder and something's bothering him. Daiga Belevish. You give that same speech, which in the first scenario was probably the right thing to do. Tell him, you know, I'm ready to learn. It's okay, you know, can we go weiter? You don't just say, weiter in Deuses! Right? That's a little rough. Right? It goes without saying, right? Chesed is not you're rough with somebody else. Chesed is you're gentle, nice, and sweet, and actually thought out before you do something. And it obviously goes without saying, chesed is not you rip the guy and we'll have a list of all the lines you could say. No. Rikita had a funny story. But I told him sometimes a guy is struggling with something. He got into some fight with his parents or some issue that's bothering him. You know what the best thing to do right then is actually talk to him. Tell me what's bothering you. Speak it out. But Rebbe, that's going to take 10 minutes up of Seder. I said, well, at least I'll take 10 minutes up from Seder and you'll have a chavrusa afterwards. versus you insist on learning and you're talking to the wall. Daig b'lev ish. There's no greater scenario of bitulo zekiyumo. How can you not talk to the guy about something that's troubling him, that if it's not addressed on some level is going to be there probably in his learning, when he's learning, and be half spaced? Okay, so you can learn by yourself. You can fake yourself out to think your chavrusa's there, but you know he's really not, because you weren't a good chavrusa, you weren't a good friend to be there for him, to hear what's bothering him. That's what a person is. We're human beings. We're not robots. And, you know, if a person ever finds his behavior, you know, looking more robotic, then we have a problem. We are humans who are sensitive, who have feelings, who have a heart. And you have to see where the other person's at. This was bothering me when I was going through the parsha. And luckily my chumashim, I have lots of like marmakomos and stuff. So I looked it up. Taka, my father-in-law has a shmuz on it. It's pretty cool. There's a Das HaKenim that says, well, I was bothered by the kasha. Why did Avraham Avinu stop with 10 tzaddikim? Right? When Hashem came to destroy Sodom, I'm going to stop by 10. Why stop by 10? Okay, so some Chazal is comparing it to Dor Noach. But I thought all these things, you have something like that's Mokrach? You have Pirachas on it. So even on the Pasuk itself, and definitely the Chazal of comparing to Noach, I hear Chalukim, okay, I'm not sure what's Mokrach, what's not Mokrach. But this one looks pretty Mokrach. The Das HaKenim says that Avraham Avinu didn't go less than 10. Why? Shahayasavar, she loathed the ishto. Look, Lot and his wife, Va'arba Benosov and their four children, Va'arba Chasnosov and their four sons-in-law, Shema Sara, Kedai Mahatzel, Ir Beskusa. Look, I already have Lot. Lot lives in Sodom. His 10 are not able to save Sodom, so I can't go less than 10. That's what the Das HaKenim says. Frek the Shver. Shtekel Pircha. You think less than 10 won't save because Lot and his family are the 10 tzaddikim that would save a city, and if they couldn't save the city, no one can? Maybe Lot's a bad guy. Maybe one of his son-in-laws or kids are a bad guy. Maybe his wife didn't reach a madrig of tzidkas. Like, what's pshat? This is Avraham Avinu davening. This is mochrach. Oh, if Hashem's way to destroy the Sodom, even though there are 10 of Lot's family there, must be less than 10, I can't go. Maybe Lot's, someone in the family is a rasha. My father-in-law said, L'chor the pshat is, Avraham Avinu projected. We all know that Lot was a rasha, and definitely people within his family were rishayim. But Avraham Avinu has such a positive look on people, he projected, you know, Lot, I knew him at some points, he was a good guy, maybe there are fights, are my roim, your roim. But he misunderstood where Lot was at. So let's take a deep breath. That means Avraham Avinu, who was a people person, he was somebody that met 24/7, right? He wasn't just in the base medrash learning. Avraham Avinu was constantly involved with people. Yet even great people, a people person like Avraham Avinu, could mistake and project and misunderstand somebody else. Do you know what that means for us? Do you think it's shayach the next time, like, even the way we look at other people, could it be I'm misjudging someone else in the yeshiva? Possible. Sometimes we struggle with building bonds with other people because we build up our image of who that other person is. Especially, look, a peer, it's competitive, all at the same age, we're all trying to do the same things. So people sometimes have warped perspectives of somebody else. By Avraham Avinu, Baruch Hashem, he had warped perspectives. He judged them way more favorably than they were. By us, I assume it's probably the opposite of the spectrum. We probably judge most people worse than we probably should. And that's important. You can't judge another person. You know, one of the worst things that used to bother me in yeshiva, and I hope it's important to... It went on in Queens. I hope it shouldn't go on here. You sometimes have guys, you know, Baruch Hashem, we have access to Rebbeim. So people always want to hakash, kafakash. Rebbe, do you think this behavior is right? It used to bother the daylights out of me when one guy in yeshiva would basically portray another guy in yeshiva and ask, Rebbe, would you think this behavior is right? I'm just to the sugya of Yahar Gval Yavar. You know, there's a tzad, the Mamplech of Erbarabim, you know, is Yahar Gval Yavar according to Ben Yonah. Like, what are you doing? Do you respect another person? But I want to know if this behavior is right or not. Okay, do me a favor. The night after your friend does that behavior, that should not be the question to be asked in yeshiva. Maybe a month from now to ask the question, maybe in a different setting, maybe privately. But don't show another guy in yeshiva up by asking, do you think his behavior is right? It's horrible. And that's definitely not a way to build achdus. Achdus is built, what can I do to help the other guy? Now, what can I do to show him that he's wrong? Look, we'll take care of showing people what's wrong. But guys should not be looking to catch somebody else and get a quote from Rabbi Luban offhand when he doesn't even know what's happened before. What do you think about that? That's rishus. That's not chesed. I came across the shmuz. It's fascinating. But Luban tells over the story that Rav Ram Trop told a shmuz to Rav Aaron Cutler. Rav Aaron loved that shmuz. What I remember, it was a shmuz somewhere in Bamidbar when it talked about Bnei Yisrael complaining, and the Bnei Yisrael complained about this, not about something else. And Rav Aaron and Rav Ram Trop's shmuz was, what's Rashi telling me? The godless of that is usually when people complain about things, they throw on the laundry list. Really, you only have right to have a taina on one thing. But when you complain about something, then there are 10 things in that list. You bring back this, you bring back this, mamash a Gilgal. So Rav Ram Trop said, the godless of Bnei Yisrael, they only complain about this, not the other 10 things. So Aaron Cutler like hugged him and was so excited about the shmuz. Remember, Lumen always tells over that story. So it was pretty cool. Was I just recently found in this week's Parsha, basically the same type of Rashi, when Avram Avinu was Mochiach Avimelech for the Bar Amayim, Rashi says, Volchicho Nesavechi Moakach. He fought with him about this. Zokt Rab Aaron Cutler, I assume Aaron Cutler had the Shmuz first. Zokt Rab Aaron Cutler, either one of them is pretty cool. The same Shmuz like Rav Ram Trop. The Avram Avinu, when he fought with Avimelech, it was only this and not something else. You see from here, such an important sign, is when you have tainas and there are things that come up, no one says you should walk around with your head in the clouds and no one does anything wrong. Of course, there are things sometimes people can make a mistake about. After you think about the situation, you're down on kaf schus, mustama. I remember this once in Isaac Sher's Sefer. He says that everyone in yeshiva is begeder. The Masil Sharm has his three groups, right? The Shlemi Hadas, Pachusim Mehem, Kol Mankula. He says, Stam Agayin Yeshiva is Bechal Shlemi Hadas. So everyone's debating with Ari Goldman. Does that make sense? Is he on top Madrega? Maybe he should be in the middle of Madrega. Fine. But Mastama, every guy in Yeshiva has a Din and Dan Lakav Skos. You're that much of a good person. Ben Yeshiva, Ben Aliyah. You have to be Dan Lakav Skos. Maybe not a Chiv, at least a Mitzvah. So after you look at all these situations, and after you try to put yourself mamish in the other person's shoes, and mistama because of the fact you do know the guy because you already established a relationship, you talk to him, you understand what's going on in his life, and then afal pike, and you see a situation which, l'chori, he needs some tochacha, just make sure you give it tochacha just on that point, and not on a laundry list. That's what you see from Ravina. When a person does all these things well, your interpersonal relationships, your skills are smooth, are sweet, are real and not fake, then that creates a certain vibe in yeshiva. Everybody here cares for each other. I'm not going to be able to grow, think about it even this way. I myself won't be able to grow as much if the environment around me is not a happy environment. Even if I myself am growing and in general I'm happy, but in the yeshiva there, you know, this one's upset about this one's about that. Like, that's not just something that, you know, of course, I get the troubleshooters. Look, my hair is getting grayer by the moment. My dear, you know, I was glad to see a friend of mine my age. He had more gray hair. Oh, Baruch Hashem. Right? My Yana Torah, you know, really gives it to you. But Lemaisa, the guys themselves, everyone should feel nachrayas for chesed. Om chesed nibana. I have a chiv of chesed, like Avram Avinu, to everybody in yeshiva, all the more so than any Arab. The way of connecting with another person is the greatest way to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Rashi's idea, if you're mechaviv of a person, you talk to him, you tell him what's going on in your life, you want to share that with somebody, he should want to accept that and hear that from you too. A person should know that a lot of times the perspectives we have of another person could be off. Even Avram Avinu, who is super an amazing people person, misjudged Lot and his whole family. And when there is a time for some degree of criticism, make sure it's on one thing and not on the whole laundry list. Because if you do it the right way, then it's holchiach tolchiach v'losis lo v'chet. Then you're doing the right way and you're doing a mitzvah. And unfortunately, if you do it the wrong way, then it's only bad things coming from it. Just want to end with one story. I was recently by a vort, and I think I say who it is. My dear neighbor, Rabbi Peled, Rav of the Kahal Ava Shalom Shul, Shalom with a Z. But anyway, so his oldest daughter just got engaged. So we're schmoozing. That was pretty cold. I know. I met the chassan. He's like, oh, you got a Chavetz Chaim. You know this guy? Yitzhak Shmimin? I'm like, yeah, sure. He's my cousin. That happens in yeshiva. He's like, really? He's my best friend. I like looked at this guy. And I looked at you. And I'm like, what? If Yitzhak Shmimin is like a Rebbe in Cherry Hill, older guy, this guy is like 10 years younger than him. He's my best friend. Like, I went home, told my wife the story. I'm like, what? Actually, she's on the phone with Rabbi Snit Schmidman. We ran into Yitzhak Shmidman's best friend. Who? What? Great story. But I meant to tell two stories there. Yeah, he was his Rebbe, or a little bit older than him, learning Rebbe in Dora Golding one year. And they just connected. And he had a means of, like, making a bond. But here this guy, like, forever look back at this older guy in yeshiva, quote-unquote, there it was in camp. That befriended him. He's my best friend. Years apart in this. It's pretty cool. I was talking to Rabbi Peled. He was talking, okay, son-in-law in this. So he said his son-in-law came to him, future son-in-law, and asked him, you know, what should he learn that he's a chassan? You know, prepare for marriage. So Rabbi said, me, him, and some other guy were talking. He said, oh, you should use Rabbi's kuntres. Kuntres ha-chassanim. The first thing he talks about over there, which is so critical, he said, you know what? Well, a person's time that he does in yeshivas, interpersonal relationships, that's what's going to help shape him to be, as we mentioned before, a better husband. Both sides, everyone wants to be a better husband. Everyone wants to be somebody that's trustworthy, that's sensitive, that's caring. You can't just flip the switch. It doesn't just happen. You know, I could be rough and gruff and uncaring and self-focused my learning. When it comes to my wife, I'm not going to be self-focused on my learning. Kol guy, kaveitim Torah guy, whatever it is, you can still be a selfish person. The ultimate person is a person who, in his time in yeshiva, is able to grow in Torah, but together with that, like Avram Avinu, grow in his chesed.